Good morning. It's Monday, May 9th, 2022. Well, we read during our last time together that death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue, of course, being an organ of speech, it receives a lot of instructional attention in the Bible, and especially in Proverbs. And today we're going to read this Proverb 18, 20, and 21 that we read in our last time together. We're going to read it from the New King James Version, and it says, "A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." You may recall that we said the Septuagint translates that they that love it as they who get the mastery over it. So, for those who, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, get the mastery over their tongue, those people will eat the fruit of that goodness. And as verse 20 said, our stomach, our spiritual stomach, so to speak, shall be satisfied from the fruit of our mouth. These good words, these good speeches from the heart will be the produce of our lips, just like a crop. It'll be the harvest, so to speak. In Luke 6, verse 45, in the King James Version, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, this mouth speaketh." Isn't that great? It's so clear. Our treasure, that's like what we love, what we desire, what we consider precious, or what gets the our most attention. That's what we put in our little storehouse. So the heart is likened to a storehouse where this treasure is stored. The heart stores whatever the mind puts there. That's how it gets into the heart. And it could be good or evil. So for those of us, we're born again, we're righteous, we store the good treasure. That's where our good treasure is. And the message here in this verse 45 is that whatever is in that storehouse is what will be brought forth. Because verse 45 clearly says, "For of the abundance of the heart, this mouth speaketh." And it's so understandable how Proverbs 4:23 becomes so crystal clear in light of these verses, which says in the NIV, New International Version, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Well, we want the storehouse of our hearts to overflow with good. Where good is our treasure of choice, it will be the source for life and, of course, not of death. We don't want to be a source for death. We want to deal life. And verse 24 of Proverbs 4 tells us how to guard what is that treasure in our storehouse. Proverbs 4:24, NIV, "Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips." And perverse speech is just crooked, it's knotted up, it's twisted, it's distorted, all the kinds of words or synonyms along that line. That's what perversion is. It's nothing that's straight or clear. It's just, it's just diametrically opposed. It's anything but clear. The lips set a natural boundary. It talks about keeping corrupt talk far from your lips. Well, the lips are the boundary. They're a natural boundary about what goes in our mouth and about what comes out of our mouth. So we want to keep corrupt talk far from them. We don't even want corrupt talk to approach the found, the perimeter, the fence, the boundary around our tongue. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. You know, biblically, the eye, I think of the Gospels, I think it's Matthew and Luke, it talks about that the eye is likened to our spiritual understanding. So let your spiritual understanding have regard for good. And not just have a regard, but have a pleasurable regard, have a favor, have a careful regard for that which is good. And that's just a heart development as we learn the respect of the Lord. The good within the storehouse will make things good, straight, upright, and well-fitted. You think about going in, I think particularly about men going to be outfitted with a new suit. You know, you could try on every suit in the store, and maybe they're ill-fitted. But then the tailor comes out, and they pinch a section of cloth, and they pin it, and they make a mark. And boy, by the time they get through, that ill-fitted suit is now well-fitted. Well, that's what we want for our conversation, for our speech. We want it to be well fitted for the righteous. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Absolutely. Let your spiritual understanding, as I said, let it regard good in a pleasurable way. So that it is like that well fitted suit. Verse 26, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. You know, the book of Proverbs, I know that we all have noticed this before, but it places a high value on righteous words, and it contrasts the wonderful and good power of the tongue to the destructive power of the tongue. And I do want to comment, it is a contrast. It is not a comparison. There's a big difference. A comparison will show the similarities of one to the other, but a contrast shows the stark difference. And you know, between righteous words and destructive words, there are no comparisons. Not even one. There's no comparison. Good and evil, light and darkness, wisdom and foolishness. Nothing of this world can be compared to God's nature and the spiritual components we have and we enjoy of life. But there are stark contrasts for sure. So the book of Proverbs has much to say regarding speech. And according to the folks who count everything, which I always enjoy, but how are you going to prove them right? I'm not going to sit there and recount, that's for sure. But according to the folks who count everything, it is said that the book of Proverbs contains 915 verses. Now, like I said, I didn't count to make sure that was right. That would mean, you know, that being true, that would mean that about one out of every six verses is extending wisdom about the tongue, about speaking. And, you know, the awe-inspiring lesson in Proverbs is that if God is so concerned with what comes out of our mouths, we would be very wise to give that subject more thought, pay more attention to it, and prayerfully reflect on what we say and how we say it. Because out of our mouth, out of that heart, then out of our mouth, the deeds we do, they reflect what is in that heart. And every day, And throughout the day, we can add to that storehouse of our hearts the mighty and powerful words of truth that will in due season serve up the words of life as they go forth from our mouths, our tongues, to bring light and life into this world. Every day, we can put more distance between us and any deceitful thoughts that would try to turn us away from our treasure, get us distracted, and just kind of slowly erode and steal those treasures from our heart. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, we're going to read these next few verses from the New King James Version. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, disobedience is punished by obedience to the word. Yeah, it just smacks it out of the way. I did enjoy reading the wording from the Message Bible translation because it did offer a little bit more in the way of calculating in the motivation of the heart. And it also puts it in terms that we kind of think in today, or we might speak among brethren about the world. It says, this is 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 6 in the Message. I guess it's actually verse 3, sorry. The world is unprincipled. It's a dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have, never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. Isn't that beautiful? We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, for tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. I don't know. I just think that is a beautiful passage. But now, honestly, as I've mentioned before, I don't read too many verses from the Message Bible. But yet this passage is just so graphic in today's vernacular. But having laid this foundation of these few verses for today, we're going to be focusing on the value of righteous words. You know, the blessings are filling the storehouse of our heart with good and choosing to use the organs of speech for life and blessings, and certainly not bringing with it the power of death, those death-dealing blows from cruel words. So as destructive as the tongue can be, there is great value and great worth in the words spoken from a righteous and believing heart. In Proverbs 10:11 in the Amplified Bible, it says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, and his words," meaning the words of the righteous, "his words of wisdom are a source of blessing. But the mouth of the wicked conceals violence and evil." So the words we speak are to be a source of life, of joy, of blessing. Now, fair speeches may come from the mouth of the ungodly, but the mischief intended for others is hiding away beneath their lying words. It's concealed. The violence and evil within their hearts, they're covered by these soft, good, positive sounding words. They use words to deceive the righteous. They lay in wait to lead us astray, where there's no joy, no blessing, and no life. There's no worth. Do you see the contrast? There's no comparison, but it is a contrast. Now, in Proverbs 10, continuing on, verses 20 and 21, and these verses give us insight according to the Wycliffe Bible, Wycliffe. And in verse 20, it says, "Chosen silver is the tongue of a just man. The heart of a wicked man is for naught. Like chosen silver is the tongue of a righteous person, but the hearts of the wicked be worth nothing." Verse 21, "The lips of a just man teach full many men, but they that be unlearned shall die in neediness of heart. The lips of the righteous teach a great many people, but they who be ignorant shall die without any understanding." It's so simple to understand. Now, in chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, from the Christian Standard Bible, "The thoughts of the righteous are just, but guidance from the wicked is deceitful. The words of the wicked are a deadly ambush, but the speech of the upright rescues them." You know, I think of an ambush. It's an old military term, but it's a surprise attack from a concealed position. You know, where the where the enemy is laying wait, and then suddenly and unexpectedly they attack. You know, there's plenty of value there. The speech of the upright rescues us and others from those situations. In Proverbs 12, 13, and 14, in the Amplified Bible, the Classic Edition, these are just beautifully worded. "The wicked is dangerously snared by the transgression of his lips, but the uncompromisingly righteous shall come out of trouble. From the fruit of his words, a man shall be satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hands shall come back to him as a harvest." And the reason for this is found in verses 17 and 18. And once again, I'm going to read these two verses from the Message. "Truthful witness by a good person clears the air, but liars lay down a smoke screen of deceit. Rash language cuts and maims, but there is healing in the words of the wise." You know, there's no godly reasoning in rash words, and it's really like the word in the Youngs for cuts and maims. It's like being stabbed repeatedly. It's not just getting a knife in the gut or getting stabbed in the chest. No, it's just continuously impaling the person with that knife. You know, these words, they're spoken without regard for the counsel from the Scriptures. But on the other hand, totally stark contrast, the tongue of the wise is health. The guidance from the Word of God is healing. The Word of God is the cure. It is the cure. It doesn't just alleviate a couple of the symptoms. It doesn't just take care of the headache and then tomorrow you have a new one. No. It is healing. There's healing. There's cure in the words of the wise. And in verse 22 in the New King James Version, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Now, boy, this is really something, and I want to take a moment to point this out. Many translations start this verse off. Like if you go to Bible Gateway and you click on all the translations for, say, verse 22, Proverbs 12:22, you'll see that many of those translations start off with "the Lord hates people who tell lies," or "He detests those who tell lies." And even in the Message, where it was so lovely in a couple of places, it says God can't stomach liars. Yet, where in the Word of God is it within God's nature to hate someone, to detest those, or that He can't stomach certain people? No, nowhere. The truth to this verse is understanding the word abomination. The word abomination means wicked, is one of the prevailing meanings. And lying lips are wicked in the sight of the Lord. The person isn't wicked. Their thoughts, their actions perhaps are wicked. And lying lips are wicked in the sight of the Lord. They're contrasted to the purity of His commandments. It doesn't mean that God hates people. God doesn't hate people. Remember John 3:16? He loved the whole world. He sent Jesus Christ for the whole world, for anyone. The invitation is open to everyone and anyone that would believe on the name of Christ. And the greater and greater is the truth that those who speak the truth are God's delight. It is delightful. The truth is God's delight. So in speaking the truth, that's what God delights in, speaking the truth. In Proverbs 12, verse 25, New King James, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. So, you know, somebody says, "I feel so depressed." Well, they're anxious. But a good word makes it glad. That's a delight to God when we work to fulfill our ministry of reconciliation, to bring people from this anxiety, from this depression, to bringing them back to being reconciled to God in their thinking and their expectations. In Proverbs 13:3, the NIV, "Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin." You know, God's not going to ruin them, but the words we speak will determine our harvest in life. In Proverbs 15:23, in the NET Bible, that's the New English Translation, a person has joy in giving an appropriate answer. And a word at the right time, how good it is. Lovely translation. In chapter 16, verse 23, New King James Version, and these next few verses are going to be New King James, and I'll tell you when we switch. Proverbs 16:23, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." So see, we do that part. The heart of the wise, we're wise. We have the wisdom of God. We're born again. We have His Spirit within us. But we teach our mouth. And we add learning to our lips because we eat, we graze, we feast upon the bread of life. We feast upon the words within His Word. We feast upon the truth. Verse 24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, and health to the bones. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You know, people want to say, well, tell it like it is. Well, maybe like it is not according to the Word of God. So we want to speak the things that aren't as though they were. We want to speak the Word of God into fruition, right? Sure. In verse 26, the person who labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. So when we're hungry, when we have a hungry mouth for the Word of God, for His truth, for His Word and His nature to prevail within the storehouse of our heart like that hidden treasure, then it is sweetness to the soul, pleasant to the bones, health to the bones, and that drives us to just want more. You know, the more you eat, it seems like the hungrier you get. Sure. Verse 27, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. And just people talk. And everybody's got to outdo the next evil that is talked about. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is a calm spirit. Now, the word spares, he who has knowledge spares his words. The word spares means he keeps watch over his mouth. He keeps his speech in check. Versus verse 28, where it says, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Because his words, when they're ungodly, they kind of give you a photograph of what's going on in his mind. I mean, it's like a CAT scan or an MRI. You really see the waves and what's going on there. So, and then in Proverbs 20:15, there is gold and there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Now, that is just gorgeous, that our mouths are, want to know the value? They are a precious, when knowledge of God is on our lips, they are a precious jewel. And in Proverbs 21:23, this is going to be from the NET, the New English. The one who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his life from troubles. So what is our expectation? That around the corner awaits another trouble because we're in this world. You know, that's just the way it is. There is always going to be problems, yes. Jesus said there's always going to be, mental pressures. But this says our expectation can be the one who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his life from troubles. There's only so much mental pressure that is going to come from the world because it's such a mess. We have a great expectation that even in a world that is so messed up, even in a world where it seems there's everything lying concealed and waiting to ambush us, this says that our mouth and our tongue keeps our lives from troubles. you know, it's uplifting to me. I know it is to you too. These words are just so gorgeous, and how they minister to the hearts of the righteous. You know, it's uplifting, it's refreshing, it's inspiring to see the value of righteous words. And what an encouragement to our souls in hiding the word in our hearts so that we will not sin against God, as Psalm 119:11 speaks of. And I do want to mention a second time about making it a practice to pray for our spiritual understanding and the development of God's word in our hearts. Prayers that the needs at hand would be met at the direction of the gift within us. You know, how about praying according to Psalm 141, verse 3? Post a guard at my mouth, God. Set a watch at the door of my lips. And I say, yes, Lord, please do that one for sure. Well, you know, with the word in our hearts, the Holy Spirit has the product and it has the timing. We invest in getting the word where it needs to be, in building up that treasure of preciousness in the storehouse of our heart, so that at the Holy Spirit's beck and call, in a particular need, our timing will be perfect. The words we speak will be meted out to that person's heart. That is a godly expectation. And I'm like to close in Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Well, God bless you all.